Are your spiritual receptors up today to hear what God is saying to you? Not just to the church. He will be saying some things to us as a body of believers, but he will be fine-tuning specific things for you. And you have to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I'm standing, I'm willing to receive everything you want to speak into me, into my spirit, in Jesus' name. Let's welcome Pastor Al Chapman this morning.
Amen. God bless you all. God is good. I love it. How many of you have been blessed this weekend? Amen. I want to take a moment before I share the word of the Lord to you. And I have the word of the Lord for you this morning. It's key for every church fellowship to, how many of you want what God wants? And if we don't move with the Spirit of God, then things don't move forward. I liken it to the river of God. And the river of God is always flowing. I say to people, you cannot put your foot in the same river twice, or the river is not moving. So as the river flows, I put my foot in the river, it's a different section of water because the water is flowing. This weekend's about the flow of what God's doing in this house. And I felt led, before I get into the message, to share with you and give you a little personal testimony so you can all understand what God wants to do with this place. Because the river is flowing, but if you stop the river from flowing, first of all, it turns into a stream. And the stream turns into a swamp. And a swamp turns into a marsh. And pretty soon there's no more water at all. And so the key of us as the body of Christ is to flow in what God wants to flow. And I want to give you just quick testimony, because I think this is important. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, it's time for you to transition. We founded our church, and it made a lot of people very nervous. But when God transitions things, everything flows like a river. And so we started the process, and we settled our people down. Where are you going? What are you doing? Are you going to be with us? And all this type of stuff. And I said, I'm not going anywhere, just like you're not going anywhere. Every Sunday, I go to church, and I sit in the church, and I enjoy the fruits of our labor when I see the young man of God, who I love, preach a word that is so powerful. My question is to God, this man needs to be preaching to the world. And I'm sitting there listening to that in the church that we founded. Then we love on the people when we go home. I liken it to grandparents. I'm a grandparent to hundreds of kids. And when we go to church every Sunday, they come in and they greet us like grandparents. They love on us. I love that. And it's very interesting, because one day we were having a conversation and we were just saying, well, we just come to church and sit just to support the ministry. And the people came to us and said, oh, Pastor, you don't just come to church and sit. We know when you're there, and we know when you're not. I tell you that story because our church is thriving after 12 years. Thriving. I still go to church there. I'm still the apostle. I'm still the father of the church, but I don't pastor it. I let the young man pastor it. And we're thriving, and we're going. And that was a season that we had to go through. And the church is just doing wonderful. There's adjustments. Adjustments are hard. Change is hard. This weekend, we saw God come in and start to move some pieces around. We see God start to establish leadership. And I could sit here right now, a couple of you sitting here, I could prophesy right now where God's going to take you, but I'm not released to do that. But I wanted to say this to you, because you're going through a season where God's river is doing an alternative a transitional thing. And some of you might remember us praying up here with the three elders and Pastor Mack. I had them grab Pastor their hands, and the elders all stood in one accord. And then I took Pastor's hands away from the elders. I get scary. I said, where's Pastor Mack going? Pastor Mack's not going anywhere. Pastor Mack's going to be here. But God is doing a transition. Why? So you can feel comfortable? No, so the church can keep flowing in the river that he intended it to flow. And as I share the word to you today, you're going to understand what I'm saying. This is imperative that you shut the enemy down of rumors and innuendo and, oh, what's going to happen, and oh, there's change. My wife used to say this all the time in our church. She says, I love change. I embrace change. Change is wonderful. And everybody goes, but change is good. I'm not saying God's going to do a major change in this house, and it could be a while before he does. I don't know. That's not up to me. That's up to the Lord. But I do want to settle you down, because some of you in this room sense there is something going on, and I need to put my finger on it and identify it. And I'm going to help you with that right now. And after I get through the message today, I think you're going to understand. God's finger's on it, and he's in it. And everything that's going on, I have to tell you, goes with multiple counsel. We're on the phone all the time, and we have Pastor Ryan, we have Pastor Jim, and the things that's going through this house, and God's taking it a place where you will thrive. How many of you want to thrive? You want to see this place where God wants to take it. And so I encourage every of you, don't get skittish. Let God be God. Flow with what he's doing. Eventually, Pastor Mack will have to, we'll retire. Eventually, he's going to retire. I'm not saying maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe 6 months, maybe 50 years. I don't know. Let's not put timetables on it. But when he does, he will still be here. Can you get that in your spirit? He'll be the father of the house. Maybe he won't pastor, but he'll be the father of the house, of which counsel comes. As my young man, he's like a son to me. And he runs and pastors that church. Does he do everything that I would do? No, because he's a different personality than I am. Do I like all the things he does? No, because I wouldn't do it that way. But God says, take your hands off it, because my hands are on it. So I want to encourage you all. You all right? This weekend's about propelling this church forward. And I'm telling you, you have two pastors that love you. Can I hear an amen on that? And you also have three elders that have dedicated their life to have this place go forward. And I have full confidence, and Pastor Ryan has full confidence, or we would not have done what we did yesterday. We have full confidence in the eldership of this church to guide it and direct it through the years of transition and through the years of what God wants to do. Can I hear an amen on that? Are y'all doing all right? Listen to the Father and the Lord here, okay? I've been through it. And we yielded to God. We gave our church to God. It's not our church anyways. And he took us through all this. Were there some people that couldn't handle it? Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. But the church is healthy, thriving, and going through the thing. Now, I sit there, and I know someday, Pastor Mack, I don't know when that's going to be. You're going to sit there, and I'm going to tell you something. It's like seeing the kids come home, the grandkids running around the house. It is the most blessing you've ever seen. Seeing leadership that I worked with for all those years take the reins and start to run with it and build something wonderful. Can I hear an amen on that? Is that all right? Don't run from God, run to God. How many of you like first responders, firemen? You know what I love about firemen? They don't run from the fire. They run to the fire. God's looking for people in the body of Christ to not run from what he's doing, but to run into what he is doing. Can I hear an amen? And I might get to preaching, and that's not my message, but I'll be careful of that. All right? But you see, God is looking for, Pastor Ryan talked, but he's looking for a remnant. Maybe there's a remnant within the remnant. They said, wait a minute, we're sitting around too long. We need to start running into the things of God. Oh, it might kill me. Yeah, it might. But glory to God. I had this one thing. Though you take my life, you see, I run in reckless abandonment to do the things of God. And if it costs me my life, I get promoted. Because I know where I'm going once I leave this place. And so I want to encourage you all. And let's get into the word. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray right now that, Lord, your will, your power, your might, your spirit will flow. This morning, look, we're looking for, Lord, a word that will be life to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love this place. You're like my family. And so let's all build this together. Can we do that? It's going to cost you. The elders are going, you're going to sacrifice. You're all going to sacrifice. God's going to say, well, I'm going to go do this because that's what I do, and I want to have a nice pleasure, and I want to go out and have fun. The Lord said, well, you can have fun later, but I need for you to dedicate your life to building this house. Dedicate it. Oh, I might lose some of my pleasures. No, you won't lose your pleasures. You will gain the blessing. And Paul said, I count all those things that I used to do as dung for the glory of the kingdom. So this day I'm going to share a message with you. Like several months ago I was here, and I shared a message and a revelation of the atmosphere of open heavens. I don't know if you remember that or not. And if you don't, I encourage you to go back and listen to it, because it's life-giving. I had an epiphany with God. I had an experience with God, and I wasn't looking for the experience, but I was looking and saying, God, I had to preach a message. I was going to, and I said, I'm looking for some revelation, and he gave me, and it was like Pastor Jim says, he said, God gave you a paradigm shift, and have anybody had an encounter with God, and all of a sudden, nothing looks the same anymore? I mean, everything changed. My whole perspective changed when God showed me this. And I preached it last time I was here a little bit about open heavens. So a few months ago, I shared a message on the revelation that God gave me on open heavens and the reason disciples and believers in church life issues and conditions are what they are today. We are looking at this right now, and I was being prophesied to our church the other day. I said to them, and I'm not prophesying that here, but if it fits, it's okay. And I said, we need to get rid of, God said, it was night, and he woke me up and he said, son, I want you to tell River Valley to get rid of the grasshopper mentality. You can teach on that. It's Numbers 13:33. Amen. And what that means is grasshopper mentality is that you know, you know what grasshoppers do. They eat everything and they do nothing. Amen. And then the Lord, during that time, the Lord said to me, he said, you need to change what your perspective is. You need to allow God to have what he's wanting. God's will is to have open heavens, which have a free flow of heaven activities between heaven and earth. I want you to understand now, there's God's desire, and I'm talking about God's desire, I'm not talking about our desire. God's desire is to have a free flow from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. Can you hear amen on that? Okay, he wants that in your life. He wants that in this church. And so as minister this word today in the next 5 hours, no, sorry. As I minister this word today, I'm ministering to you as individuals, and I'm also ministering to you as a corporate body. Because the corporate body, I don't know if you realize that, are made up of individuals. And the individuals' lives determine the corporate body's future. And so if you're all walking with God, the body walks with God. If you're all fighting with each other, the body's fighting each other, and nobody's walking with God. Can I hear an amen on? So it's really, really important that the flow between heaven and earth. When the heavens are open, disciples of Jesus Christ elevate their faith and their belief and exercise their faith, causing, now, won't you hear me now, when heavens are open over a body or over your individual life, here's what happens. It elevates your faith, and the faith comes to exercise it, causing the invisible to become visible. That's a God thing. Amen? The supernatural to become natural. I don't know about you, but I walk a supernatural, natural life. The supernatural comes first, and it walks me through the natural life. Isn't that awesome? So the supernatural becomes natural. And we all know Matthew 6:10, it simply says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth as is in heaven. Now, the challenge is that prayer has become a cliche. Oh, I say the Lord's Prayer, okay? Well, first of all, it's a disciples' prayer, amen? It was meant for the disciples. And second of all, when we pray, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, what we're asking God is clear the pathway between heaven and earth. Clear the pathway. It's important for us to stand this because we want to see, amen, what God sees. I want to have the vision with God. The invisible become visible. The invisible become visible. How many of you know there are hundreds of people that are invisible right now that will be sitting in these chairs X amount of time from now? I did prophesy to our church in River Valley a couple weeks ago. I said, if we get the right perspective, then you will not be concentrating on empty chairs. You'll be looking for chairs to fill the people. It's a change in perspective. When you see this place invisible, you don't see what God sees because God sees those saints that are being called to this place, but you don't see them. You see empty chairs. So our perspective is on something that's not, are you with me, instead of what God is. And God's going to start changing our lives. Every aspect of your life will change if you hear what I got to say today. And I can say that to you because mine changed. When God opened this thing up, I'm telling you, church, I don't see anything the same anymore. Heaven is defined as a place, a sphere, a cosmos from which God rules over all. How many of you understand that God rules over all? There's nothing in this world out of God's control. I can see your faces. Oh, now we're looking at this terrible thing that's going on in this world. Come on, listen to me now. Nothing in this world is out of God's control. Because if it is, that means there's a God bigger than him. And that's just not happening. That's not true. God's God. Can I hear an amen on that? And don't give me all this, oh, why this and why that. You know, I said something to my sister-in-law the other day, and boy, it was kind of a braggadocious and arrogant statement. And God says, no, it's not arrogant, it's truth. People got questions, why this, why this, and why this? And I said to my family member, I said, I don't have questions anymore. When I know God's in charge, I don't question anymore. I just ask for revelation to him to show me and how to live within what he's doing. Can I hear an amen on that? Psalms 103, verse 19 in New American Standard says this, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. And as we go forward today, I want you to understand that God's sovereignty rules over. There is nothing out of God's control. And I've said this, you've heard me many times, I've been up here a lot of times, you've heard this. I am a firm believer that nothing, nothing, nothing happens in my life unless God ordains it. You mean chaos? Yes. God make me sick? No. But he uses the sickness to change me from glory to glory. Come on, are you hearing me? There's nothing in our life out of God's control. And if you believe that, and if you believe that there are some things out of God's control, then he's not in charge and he's not God. Is this too radical or do you want me to go home and not finish this? See, the challenge we have today is that God wants open heavens. And most of the church in America, and right now, I'm going to say it, and River Valley, and Freedom Worship Center, we are dealing with a closed heaven. Where's the free flow, God? Closed heavens are when God has, listen to me now, because this comes back on us, the church. Closed heavens are when God has shut up the heavens, meaning there is a ceiling over society, over culture, and the people, which prevents the heavenly flow and gives way to the enemy and the influence of man and the atmosphere of prevailing darkness. The heavens are also closed because of the rebellion of mankind and forsaking the Lord and his word. It's called brass heavens. And God gave me a vision. I can't go too much into it because I'm trying to keep my time minimum today. But brass heavens, and God showed me a vision. He says, it's like, how many of you ever seen a cliff? You know, you're walking over and there's this big cliff over your head. It's like stone. It's like a stone cliff. And I'm standing underneath the cliff. And he says, that's what brass heavens are. Has any of you ever experienced having prayer life that bounces from the ceiling and back down to the ground with no answers? We all have. And if you say you haven't, you're lying to me. Come on. So some of your face, don't be scared. This is going to turn out good. So brass heavens means that our prayers are hitting a hard ceiling and just bouncing back. Why isn't God answering our prayer? Because it's hitting a ceiling and bouncing back. Why is that? The Bible also says, and I don't have time to get it, Pastor Mac can teach it, that the ground also is iron. And why is that? Because when God's people don't do what he tells them to do, or they don't flow with the word, or they don't pray, or they don't worship, or they don't do what he wants, they cause a hardness over in the atmosphere, which is called a brass heaven. But also, it causes an ironclad ground. How many of you know the Bible says that we are to stir up the fallow ground? And it says, Lord, this isn't fallow, this is iron. He says, yes. And much of the church in America today, we're looking at it, and I'm not talking about big fancy campuses. I'm talking about spiritual kingdom. Is that we plant things. Have you ever had this happen? And it doesn't grow. We work hard with all kinds of programs and we work our fingers to the bone. And 2 weeks later, it's like it never happened. It's because the ground is ironclad and it can't take root. Why does that happen? Because of the saints and the church not living and not doing what God's called us to do. We are more interested in our pleasure life than we are the kingdom of God being manifest. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Please don't go down that road. I don't go down that road anymore. I preach the word. And God is saying, my people are more interested in their personal pleasure than they are building the kingdom of God. Brass ceilings. I'm more interested in doing what I need to do for me than be concerned what you want me to do for you, God. Brass ceilings, ironclad ground. I said, how do we do this, God? And this is the epiphany I had. It's just really powerful. And I just got to share this with you. Because in my prayer life, and I pray for this church, and I pray for this church, I pray for our church. I said, God, I need the brass ceiling broken because I finally have an understanding why we preach the word and worship the Lord, but nothing happens, Pastor Mac. Day after day, month after month, the church stays the same. I said, it's not your will, Lord. And then he says, now you have a perspective that all you're looking at is a brass ceiling in the ground, and all you're looking at is all your prayers going up and coming back down. And many of us, I don't know how about you, but many of us do not feel victorious in the kingdom of God because God doesn't answer prayer. That is an outright lie. The prayers are going forward, but there's a brass ceiling because of the condition of our hearts and our lives that are stopping and preventing our prayers. And my prayer is, Lord, break that brass ceiling in the name of Jesus. Stir up that ground. I'm praying for everything, Pastor Matt, that this church plants in the ground will flourish, will grow. Hallelujah. Jesus. The expression. And so God wants to get rid of the brass ceilings. God wants open heavens. God wants an atmosphere, as I preached when I came here last time. He wants open heavens. The expression and dimension of God's kingdom upon this earth require open heavens, where there is a free flow of Holy Spirit and angelic armies. How many of you know right now Israel's got a problem? Do you think God's armies, angels' armies, are just sitting around? No, they're out there and they're working for God's people. It's the same for us. If we have a flow from heaven to earth, okay, we have the angelic armies coming to aid us and help us do what the things of God has called us to do. And so God wants a free flow, not just from heaven to earth, but from earth to heaven. That's why your worship is going to change in the next coming time. I noticed something today. I'm blessed all weekend. We sing Jesus songs all weekend. Have you noticed that, church? And a thank you worship team. It's all about Jesus and Him. Not about us, not about me or my hangnails or my snotty nose. It's about the Lordship and the glory and the magnificence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That breaks heavens open. Oh, there's a lot of churches singing me songs. Oh, woe is me. You know, there's a point I have to do now is I have XM radio type thing and I turn the message or the station that has some Christian music in it. And Pastor Mac, I honest to God, I have to shut it off. Because much of the Christian music we listen to is doctrinally unsound. And it's a music of defeatism instead of the kingship and the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so encourage us. Let's go forward. That God would descend from on high. How many want God to descend on high? How many want God to come down and just be a part of your worship right here? And my prayer is, Lord, I want a portal of heaven. A portal of heaven right now. We break that brass ceiling right now in the name of Jesus. And I want to see a portal of heaven. And I just don't want to see a move of God. I want to see your presence fill the church and change lives. I want to see your power to break the power of darkness. I want to see your anointing that God's people are raised up in their gifts. And they don't give us excuses anymore, but they allow to be used as instruments of God. God would descend from heaven, fill the heavens and earth with His presence, and display His visible power to execute His heavenly plan, empower the body of Christ, and destroy the darkness and the evil once and for all. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not fighting darkness anymore. I'm loosening the light because my Bible says, where there is light, darkness will what? Come on, church, flee. Amen. So we need to, in the body of Christ, stop fighting the darkness and come and release the light of Christ. The Bible speaks about three different heavens, and I have to move rapidly. The first heaven is the natural heaven, which is the atmosphere that influences and controls and shapes the earth. It's the atmosphere the God of this age has been given, having authority over, because Adam and Eve released it. They were disobedient, and they gave the authority over this earth to the enemy. Amen? And the natural thing. And I want to tell you, with the natural atmosphere, how many of you have a natural atmosphere in your home? Okay? You have a heavenly atmosphere. It's the first heaven, the natural atmosphere, and the atmosphere you have in your home has nothing to do with the devil if you're a Christian. It has to do with you and your relationship with the Lord. Come on, talk to me. Some of you are getting mad at me already. We need to stop looking for the devil and what he's doing in our life and look at what we're not doing for God. Because if we're living for God in our homes and we have a proper spiritual atmosphere in our homes, the devil will not adorn the door of your household. He can't. He no longer will crouch at your doorstep, waiting for the opportunity to pounce on you. Because when the door is opened, the light's in there. And where the light is, the darkness cannot go. Are you hearing me? I hope you're hearing the power. Because the natural heaven, the first heaven, is where we will operate, where we will control, and is where the enemy does most of his stuff. Then we have the second heaven. The second heaven is a spiritual dimension from which the principalities and powers, amen, all come and go. That's where the enemy has his so-called power. And the only reason the enemy has the power over the second heaven is because the church has released it to him. Come on, church. When we have worship and praise here, we are what? How come, why some churches is that we sing songs but we don't worship? We sing songs because we're in the first heaven. We're doing our fleshly thing. We have enough worship to give me emotional goose pimples, and I feel good, but when I go home, nothing changes. That means you weren't into worship. We were into song service, which is emotional and not spiritual. Is that right? And so God is saying, no, I need my church to take charge of the second heaven. I need my church to start rebuking the enemy and paving the way for the body of Christ and for the flow of Christ. The third heaven is the dwelling place of the Most High God. This is sometimes referred to as the city of God. It is where God is. It is where he is seated. It is where Christ is seated. Can I hear an amen on that? The order for the order for there to be open heavens, listen to me now, in order for you to have a free flow now of open heavens, the first and second heaven must be dealt with. Well, God can do it. No, he gave that to us. You see, if we start to understand that all I got to do to see God move is I've got to change my life enough to break the power of the first heaven, the atmosphere I live in, I can change. How many of you know you can change the atmosphere you live in? Okay? Wherever you go, you got a bad office situation, go in there and just start praying and speak to it and it will change. Well, I've done that. No, you don't. You're doing it, but you don't believe it. I don't know about you, and I've said this before. When I walk into a room and there's a darkness there, I don't have to say a word. They know I've arrived. Well, that's arrogant. No, that's truth. That's truth. Wherever there's darkness, you know, why do you think the world is fighting us right now? Why do you think Israel is there? Why do you think that they're trying to close their church down in America? Don't tell me they're not doing it. They are doing it. Why do you think that the attack against Jewish and Christians, why do you think they're coming after us? Because they can't handle the light. So if they get the church in the first heaven to put bushel baskets over their heads and hide in a little corner and live in our wonderful pleasure world and feed our own flesh, but there is no light in our life, then the enemy has won. But once we take this basket off our heads, come on, listen to me, church, and once we get on fire for God, and we move that, and all of a sudden the boundaries that capture our light and put it away so the world can't see it is all of a sudden broken, and we become a beaming flashlight to the world, and the world can't handle that. That's why we're going through what we're going through right now. It's all about God. Are you with me? Am I scaring you? Come on. Because I'm going to talk to you about a third principle, a third heaven principle that's absolutely going to, anyways, God. God's desire is to open the eyes of every disciple and remove the scales in order to see and experience, come on now, the new exciting supernatural world that he lives in, and that we can also right now live in that supernatural world of light and power right now, every one of us in this room. You don't have to wait to heaven to get there. That's a lie. And quite frankly, it's a lie from the church. Oh, someday we're going to get raptured and we'll just, well, I'm not saying we're not going to get caught up, but I don't live a theology that I'm leaving the earth. I live a theology that I'm sent here to make a change in the earth. And when Christ comes back, he'll take me out of the earth. Can I hear an amen on that? And so God's looking for something from the church. The world is dying out there, folks. Why? How many of you think darkness has captured America? Just go look at the report from Washington, D.C. this last week. Amen? They attacked the White House. They painted red all over the gates in America. We walk in the cities, you don't know whether you're going to be, there's no safety anymore. There's no police anymore. Everywhere you go, there's chaos. And what we're seeing is the darkness and the penetrating darkness take over our land. Or am I the only one that sees this? And then we say, Lord, why don't you do something? The Lord says, no. Why don't you do something? Because I gave the responsibility of this earth to you, the church, to shine like a shining light, a city on a hill, walking in the power of the resurrection. You were sent here to take down the devil, not him manipulate you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 of 21. New King James Version. Ah, I love this scripture. I love all scripture, but I love this scripture. Verse 20 says, And he walked in Christ, and when he raised him from the dead, it's talking about Jesus, God sat him somewhere. Let me read that again. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, who? Jesus, at the right hand. Where? In heavenly places. And that's where we're saying, Jesus, come. And because he's seating. How many of you question Jesus sitting in heavenly places? He's sitting right next to the hand. Do you all go with that? He's sitting next to the Father. And by the way, all authority was handed to him by the Father. Why? Because he's sitting right next to him. Now, where is he seated? Now, I want you to hear this now, because we're going to put the devil where he belongs. Amen? Maybe we need to stop fighting the devil and start being obedient to God, and the devil will run from us. Oh, I think that's a scripture. Flee from? I think that's the word. Now, listen to me now, because this is powerful. Where is Jesus seated? All right? Say, far above. Far above. Okay. Jesus is sitting far above. Where? What? All. Say all. Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the that which is what? To come. Now, how many are comfortable Jesus sitting next to the throne? That all power has been given to him. And that it's up to Jesus to take care of this world, because he's the one sitting next to the Father. He's the one that all authority has been given to. So it's all up to Jesus, so we're just going to put the whole thing on him. Except, it's not scriptural. Oh, he's over all things. But he was put at the right hand of the Father and given all authority for a reason. Because the Bible says Jesus is the head. Are you with me? How many know there's not a headless body of Christ? You can't have a head without the body. Have you figured that out yet? Okay. So the church is all waiting for Jesus, because Jesus is sitting next to the Father. So now it's all up to Jesus, because he's sitting next to the Father. Are you all with me? You know I'm setting you up. Let's go to the next verse. Ephesians chapter 2:6. Are you with me? And he raised
who?
Who? He raised us up, where? Together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So where are you seated? Someone asked me last one time, are you telling me I live in two places? I'm saying, yes, you do. Because you might see me here, but I'm seated in a different place. Come on. I'm seated in a different place. I'm not seated down here with all this garbage. I'm seated in a place the devil can't even get to me. Why? Because I'm seated next to Christ. Where? In heavenly places. The devil can't get to me. He only can get to me in the first and second heaven because I don't realize that I'm seated in heavenly places. Where are you seated? Because we're all fighting the devil. We're fighting the powers and principality. We're fighting through the darkness. We're trying to make our way through the maze. Worried about what the devil's going to do next. Now, I know the devil's out there, and I know he's attacking us. He attacked me when I got this message. Oh, I'm telling you, he attacked me. He had a headache when he got through because he couldn't win. So where are you seated? In? Oh, where is that? Let me go back to back scripture. Where is Jesus seated? Okay, verse 21. Jesus is far above. Where? All principalities, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is not named, every named. And not only in this age, this age, where are you seated if you're seated with Christ? You are seated far above the powers and the principalities and the darkness of the enemy. So I'm now dealing with the devil, not down here, but I'm dealing with the devil like this. I don't have to crawl through this chair to make it through life because I'm standing upon the powers and principalities that rule this world. Am I gone wacky? Absolutely. For Jesus. And so what I'm talking about is a heavenly perspective. I don't see my problem as a problem anymore. I see it because I'm not going to make my way through my problems. I look down at my problems from the perspective of God, that anything comes away in my life, it is to make me more like Christ and to defeat the enemy. But if I become more like Christ, then a problem maybe in my life is to get rid of part of my flesh that stopped me from living my heavenly perspective. So maybe we need to start embracing our chaos, our problems, and the things that are making you so negative now, you can't get out of your own way. You're saying, Lord, you're sovereign. I'm sitting in heavenly places. I'm above all that. Now give me a view of victorious living, because now I'm going to step on my problem, not deal with it. Ushatarabasan. Pastor Mac, I got the anointing coming. Ooh, shut up, son. A heavenly perspective. I call it the third heaven principle. Life will govern and maintain the proper perspective if I'm in Christ. How is a disciple of Christ? How do they view? What is their view? Amen? What is their position? And many of the body of Christ position is in the first and second. Come on, church. It's literally in the first heaven. I'm inundated with my flesh and the pleasures of this world. I am controlled by it. And don't you dare. Why do they get mad at the church? It's because the church, amen, is saying you live for God. And they think that we're going to take something away from you because you can't have the pleasure of the world. Man, if you think that, you might need to get saved. That's strong. But if I'm going to complain, I'm going to compare the pleasures that the world has to offer me, which are instantaneous, temporary, and meant to control me, if I'm going to compare that to the blessing and releasing of the power of God in my life that releases me to eternity, there is no comparison. And many people are stuck. Can I say stuck? How a disciple perceives your position and your placement. Listen to me now. In your life will govern and maintain your perspective of life. If you're down and out and you feel like a grasshopper or a spot on a piece of paper, then you have the wrong perspective. And you are not looking at your life as God sees you. God does not see you with your problems. God does not see you what the world told you you are. God does not see you as a loser. He sees you as victorious. God does not see you in darkness. He sees you in light. God does not see you sick. He sees you healed. God does not see you captured in bondage. He sees you set free in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a perspective that we need to start getting in our lives. Ooh, Shataba, son. Scripture declares and identifies the position and the place of those who have accepted Jesus and made him Lord and Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I want to read it out of the Amplified because it says what I wanted to say. It's really wonderful. He raised us up together with him and made us sit together, giving us joint sitting with him in the heavenly sphere, the virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wow. I'm getting so excited, my nose is running. Because each disciple is seated in heavenly places. They have been given the ability, listen to me now, to understand and perceive the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13:11. We have been given the key to understand the mysteries. God has the answer to all your questions. Stop asking your questions and get the answers. Oh, Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? God doesn't look at your situation like you do. Some of you are in some horrible things, and some of you have had some horrible things done in your life. I fully understand that. But so haven't we all. And if you start to understand, when I look at it from where I'm seated now, I'm not seated down here anymore. I'm seated up here. And I see that everything that happened to my life, I tell our church, and when I go out and preach and minister like I'm doing right now, I tell people, do you know the stepping stones and the pathway that I walk? The stones are the challenges and the chaos and the pain and the hurt and the sickness and all that we've been through in life and everything lies through me. I walk on those stones. And I walk solidly on those stones. Why is that? Because I have a heavenly perspective. Why is that? Because God used every one of those situations to make me closer to Christ. He made me every situation that was chaotic in my life or damaging or hurting, rejection, sick, whatever it is. He did that. He didn't create it, but he uses it a lot of times. Listen to me, church, all right? And what happened is that he destroys my flesh Oh, that I might die, that Christ might live. Come on, are you with me? All right? And so he used every circumstance to destroy my flesh that hindered me from living in a third heaven perspective. And so he kept me, trying to keep me, like he is many here and many around, he's trying to keep us in a negative, downtrodden attitude and defeatist attitude based in darkness instead of light, because we refuse to get up out of the heavenly perspective, all right? And we're looking down, and we live in first level, and we let the second level control us, and God's saying, speak in my name through the heavens. Glorify my name in worship and praise. Pray and get into my word and see that the brass heavens up over your life and over the life of this church will be smashed, destroyed, and before you know it, there'll be a beacon of light, which is called a portable of heaven. The glory of God will come down into your life, and your life will be absolutely transformed, and the enemy no longer will have control. And the next problem you have, you'll start rejoicing in it instead of crying about it. Now, some people might think that we're a little crude, because my wife got sick before we came up, and she was all packed. She wanted to come. She was looking forward to be with our friends and with you. And she got just really weak. And she said, honey, I can't do it. And so what we, oh, why God? Oh, this is, you're cheating us. No, we did not do that. We realized that maybe she needed to be home, and we lifted up our voice to God and praised him that he had gave us enough wisdom to take care of her health, that I didn't push her beyond what she was supposed to be pushed. Because I looked at the situation like this. Hi. Are you hearing me, church? Heavenly perspective. Because each disciple is seated in heavenly places, they have been given the ability, say ability, to understand and perceive the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Every one of you have that ability. Stop listening to the lie. I got to rely on Pastor Mac or the elders to teach me about the mysteries of God. Well, maybe you have to do that too, but I'm going to tell you, if you get into heavenly perspective, you let God show you the mysteries and your own life, he will start unlocking the doors in your life that you haven't been able to get through. Why? Because I'm now looking in a heavenly perspective in my problem. Oh, wow, I got a problem. Oh, wow, it's not the devil. God's working something in my life. Praise you, Jesus. Problem gone. Does it happen that fast? No. But it happens. Are you all with me? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Now, Pastor Mac and I are talking this day. I very rarely use the Message Bible, but when it says what I want it to say, I'm going to use it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Message Bible. Now, listen to me now. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going around. That's where the action is. See the things from his perspective. The action for the believer is not here. The action of the believer is sitting where you're supposed to be sitting, in a heavenly perspective. Can I hear an amen on that? Heavenly perspective comes from being in Christ and abiding and developing a relationship with Jesus. Amen? That's a heavenly perspective. Well, that takes time. Amen. I got to read the Bible. Amen. I got to pray. Amen. It's not going to come easy. I'm not going to tell you it does. But do you want victory in your life? And do you want to get out of the darkness and stop being ruled by the world? Then this is the way we do it. And I'm looking for the church to do this. Amen. I'm looking for the church to rise above. Heavenly perspective is available for each disciple because of what Jesus Christ accomplished through the cross and the resurrection. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of dominion and ultimate authority. I don't know about you, but how many of you have read Genesis? Because when Adam and Eve was created, what did God give Adam and Eve? But they told them to take what? Have dominion. Amen. Have dominion. We are supposed to have dominion over what's going on in this world. And where do we start? We start with our own lives. If you get a church with dynamics of everybody getting a hold of a heavenly perspective for their own personal life, then they'll bring that perspective into the church, and soon the corporate body will stop looking at things the way they are and start looking at things the way God wants them to be. You think God, when he sees this church, he sees a whole bunch of empty chairs and, come on, you think that's what God sees? Come on. I gave a vision in River Valley one time, and people thought I was nuts. The people lining up an hour before church, because if they don't get in, they don't get a church seat. So many crowds are coming, so many people are running to the church, that they got to get hire cops out in the streets just to get people into the parking lot. Oh, that's fantasy land. No, that's a heavenly perspective, and fantasy land is living in the first level. See, I come to church, I see this place packed. Oh, is that important? No, it's not important. We talked about that yesterday. It's not important only because we value you success by the number of people there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the release of the kingdom of God. And I want a church packed, but I want a church packed with people on fire for Jesus. So when they leave this place, they don't leave church at church. They go out there and they be the church. How many of you, and don't raise your hands, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of you recently have said to somebody, we got really happening things there at our church, would you come and pick you up? It's not happening. It's not happening. Why is that? Because we're living in the first level of the heavens, and we're letting the second level control things when God says, I put you above all that, to speak to it in the name of Jesus. What you ask in Jesus' name, the Father, isn't that thing? Ask anything in my name, and the Father, what? We'll negotiate with you. No. Jesus, in his heavenly place, is far above principalities. I'm repeating myself, and I know that. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only this age and the age to come. Amen? The phrase, heavenly places, is a sphere, a realm, which spiritual activities is unseen, spiritual world that takes place under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. What a heavenly perspective does is that we start dealing with the world in a spiritual fashion, not a fleshly fashion. When my wife and I, we've been married 59 years, going to be 60 years next year, so we've learned a thing or two. And the one thing we do is we start a little intense fellowship. Anybody ever have an intense fellowship? You all know what I mean by intense fellowship? Argue. We don't agree. And instead of letting the voices raise, and sometimes the octave level goes a little too high. Come on. You're not real if it doesn't happen to your home. But at that point, we realize that now the emotion... Now the emotion of our soul is ruling over the Word of God and the Spirit in our life. And we immediately stop. We cut each other off. And we realize that I'm dealing with you out of my emotions and my soul instead of the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, with understanding that we both have differences. Can we work it out? And so we absolutely stop. We might walk away for a while bit. I mean, go into another room or something like that, but we stop. and we're back in the spirit again, and we pray, we get back together again. Now, that sounds, oh, come on, that sounds, no, that is the way we operate. Why is that? Because what we do is in that situation, we get up out of the first heaven, the atmosphere, we get up out of that, we bind Satan, who's looking to divide my wife and I, and we step into our heavenly place of the third heaven and bring unity and love to each other, and then we dictate that down on earth, and we smash the very thing that was set out to separate us. I don't know if I'm making sense to anybody. It's so clear to me. Is it clear to you? God is good. One of the most important principles and truths in a disciple's life is to identify and maintain a proper perspective according to God's word, plan, and purpose of his life. Now, let me just say this without going too far into it, okay? How many of you know the church has a problem? And the problem is they don't know the word of God. Very small percentage of people read the word every day. Well, I have it on my phone. That's not what I'm talking to you about. I have it on my phone, too. Well, I want a verse, I'll just look it up. Well, that's good, but did you look through the verse before and after it? Did you get the context of what God is saying? Do you understand what the Lord is saying, okay? And what the Lord is saying is, be in the Word. Take time. Get a heavenly perspective. If I'm going to live in the third heaven, I got to live in the Word. Come on, church. Jesus was the Word, what? Made flesh. So when I'm dealing with the Word, I'm dealing with Jesus. The Word is living Jesus changing you. It's not a book. It's something that we can get into that brings us from here to there. Oh, so much time. You're going to wish you took the time. Because God's looking for a church that walks in the authority of Christ. Are you with me? Very few people understand this. Not this book, but the Word has the authority of Christ. Jesus said to the devil when he tempted him, it is what? Written. What did Jesus do? He fought the devil, not with his emotions, not with his hunger, not with his pain. You don't think he was in a pain at that point, being tempted beyond all measure. And what Jesus did is he declared the word. And the devil ran from him. Now, I'm not saying you have to memorize this thing. It doesn't hurt. I'm not a person that can look at the bird and go, well, this verse and that verse, that verse. There are people, I know the word. Pick out an individual verse, sometimes I can't do that. Does that mean I don't know the word? No, that means the word is in me. And it doesn't get broken down by verse and chapter, because it originally wasn't by verse and chapter. Are you with me? Pastor Mack, you can pick that up. Go down that road, okay? Amen. A disciple's proper perspective can only come through, come through viewing one's life through God's heavenly perspective, which is dramatically greater, amen, than any plans, agendas, thoughts, or actions of mankind. It's greater than it all. Perspective identifies how one views, perceives, and envisions and discerns life. The capacity to elevate one's surroundings, amen, and capability to anticipate the future. When I look at this church, I'm not looking at it here in the first heaven, Pastor Mack. I'm not wrestling with the second heaven because I come in the authority of Jesus. I don't wrestle with the devil. I tell him to get out of my face. Well, that's you, Pastor. You've been around a long time. No, that's anybody who has Jesus inside us. And the problem with the church is you look at someone like us, we've been around a long time, we have titles, whatever that means. Y'all know what I mean. Oh, I'm this. No, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, empowered by him. I'm not a pastor. I'm a son of God, empowered by him. Who are you prophesying? I'm not a prophet. All right? Yes, that's what they call me. But that doesn't make me anything different than anybody else in the body of Christ. Because in reality, in God's eye, he sees no title. He sees a son living in the third heaven, anointed by him. God removes the stuff the church uses to separate us and to depower you so you don't believe that you can walk the same kind of life that we walk. It's a lie. And if I would leave here today, I'm asking you, would you go home and seek God from a heavenly perspective for your life and your family? Understanding and having a proper perspective is critical to one's life because it molds, shapes, defines, ultimately determines how one responds and reacts, amen, to the elements of life. What I'm talking to you will dictate how you relate in life. Amen? Come on. The world is separating people. They separate us in tribes. If you don't belong to that tribe, I hate you. If you don't belong to my tribe, you're not right. Amen? Pastor Ryan put it perfectly. We don't deal with liberal and conservative, Democrat or Republican. We deal with what? Evil and good. Light or darkness. That's what we deal with. And God has equipped us to always deal in light and goodness. If I have a person that's in my face and is spewing their hate, all I got to do is say, Father, in my natural life, I'm going to hit this person. You need to back up. But in the temperament of my third heaven position, I'm going to say, Father, I know this person is without you and without understanding. In Jesus' name, capture their heart. Whoa! Devil backs up. Because now he can't create a war. Why? I put a dividing line. I said the heaven, the kingdom of God is between us now. The devil has no power. None. Zero. He only has power that we give him. Please hear this. I've got to move on. Also, perspective will influence and direct the particular mindset, how you think, which will bring about a realm of thinking that creates a vision and viewpoint and determines the focus of your life. Amen? I preached on focus one time and I came up here, the focus of life. What do we focus on? I focus on, amen? I don't focus on this way. I don't focus through my problems in the maze. I don't do that. Those days are over trying to make it through all the problems. Why is this? Why is that? What's this? What's that? I had a little thing. I got a little grumpy about 3 weeks ago. When I get grumpy, I get grumpy. And I started spooting, and I started sputtering. My flesh was enjoying it. So I said, Lord, what is going on? And she said, why do you have a question? Because I was feeling not that well. Has anybody ever had that ever, or is it just me? And he says, son, if you come up here where I told you to sit, that wouldn't be bothering you. So I repented, and I got back up sitting next to Jesus in my heavenly places. Over all the powers, principalities and power, depowered devil. And I said, Lord, I praise you for what you just showed me. And I walked through and I thank you for that misery that got me back to where I'm supposed to be. Bam, it left. Situation was gone. We all have the power to do this, church. Heavenly perspective means that a disciple sees life and the world and its culture through the lenses of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16-17. For by him, come on now, by him all things are what? Created, both in heaven and earth, all things created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. For before him all things, and in him all things hold together. That means everything in my life through Jesus is being held together by him, which is a heavenly perspective. If he's not holding it together, I'm dealing with a worldly perspective. I'm letting culture and what we live in affect my spirit. I see what's going on. I talked to Pastor Kakuzi the other day. I see what's going on in the world. It's horrible. I've never seen such darkness and evil. Is it just me? Or? But it doesn't affect me. It doesn't get in me. It doesn't change my relationship with Christ. But all the evil in the world, yes, and that is the fruit of the devil and the darkness. And that can never reach my spirit. What's going out there, church, can never reach you if you do what I'm sharing with you today. It will never touch you. There are some things coming in this country. I'm telling you, buckle up. Buckle up. And not an ounce of fear should enter into your being. Because Christ is sitting beside you in heavenly places. Amen. Let me go. I'm going to close here. Amen. As a disciple accepts and embraces that all things are in, through, and for Jesus. Listen to me. In your life, all things. I don't know how else you spell all things, but all things. Amen? Are through Jesus, for Jesus. Then you will, and then they will, have you life through Jesus' victory. Amen? Through his authority, his power, his dominion. You see, I walk on this earth not on my own authority. Because when God gave Jesus authority. Now listen to me now. I said something to Sister Kate yesterday. Listen to me now. Jesus is the head. The Bible says that God will put all things under Jesus' feet. Are you with me? Is it in the Word? Is it not in the Word? But Jesus is the head. We are the body. The feet, my feet are not attached to my head. It's attached to my body. And so with the body of Christ, all the enemy is sending our way, instead of fighting with it up here, sit next to Jesus where he is, because all things work through him and for him. And start stepping on your problem. Because the feet that the scripture is referring to is the feet of Jesus, which is the body of Christ. And where are they seated? In heavenly places. Where? Far above all the powers and principalities. Why are we dealing with this stuff when we don't have to? You're going to probably have to listen to this several times to get this. I want to move on because I got to close. When a disciple catches and embraces a heavenly perspective, God has provided the helper, listen to me now, the helper, the Holy Spirit, right, will teach and guide each one how to flow and live from a heavenly perspective. Amen? The very powerful aspect of heavenly perspective is that God, amen, did not leave his disciples wandering around. Now you got to hear this now. Where is the heavenly perspective coming from? We are not wandering strangers walking through the earth, left alone to make our way. Jesus says, no, I'm going to send you a helper. Are you with me? He did not leave us to walk through this earth alone. So how do I live that heavenly perspective? He put the truth in you. When he said, I will send you a helper, another comforter. I will send you a counselor. And the reason Holy Spirit has been put inside of us is to bring us into a heavenly perspective. God himself is in us with the view of Christ, not the world. They said this, but Christ says this. Holy Spirit reminds you. They said you can't do this, but the Holy Spirit says, but the Word says this. I can't get this, but the world said all things are possible. That's what the Word says. I'm going under. No, you're above. And let that voice of Holy Spirit bring a heavenly perspective. Last scripture. John 14, 16, 18. Listen to me now. I ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he does not see, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides where? With you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. God knows you're in the first and second heaven. But he's given us the power. I got one more scripture, but I'm going to close. Time's up. I want to tell you a story. That I hope will give you a good idea of what I've been trying to say to you. How many of you are familiar with the Philistine and the taking down of the Philistine? The great mighty army of Israel was gathered together in all its armament and all its power. And this giant called Goliath comes and challenges the army. The entire army, listen to me, one Philistine, one Goliath, tall giant, challenge the army of God and put fear in the king who ran that army. They were trembling in their boots because Goliath, send me one of your champions. They were fearful. All of a sudden, here comes this snotty-nosed little kid with lunch for the army. Bag of sandwiches, so to speak. And this little runny-nosed kid, curly hair, freckles, couldn't get out of his own way. He'd been spending his whole life taking care of a bunch of sheep. He comes down to the army and he starts challenging them. Who is this Philistine that charges against the army of God? I'm paraphrasing it, obviously. And they all mocked him. And Saul kind of wanted to send him, but go back to your passenger. Let's go back to your pasture. Take care of your sheep. Let us do the man stuff down here. Shaking and quaking because the enemy was standing in front of him. So David said, I'll take the Philistine, so to speak. So what they did is they went and got all their worldly, listen to me, armor, and they put it on David to go fight this Goliath. And the army was so heavy, David couldn't even move. In fact, it was too big for him anyways. He was a runny-nosed, snot-nosed kid. Come on, church. Can you picture him and putting all this armor on him? He's getting lower and lower and lower. The weight is beyond us. That's what the world does to you when they give you their battle plan, their weapons, instead of a heavenly perspective. I'm closing with this. All of a sudden, this snot-nosed little runny kid couldn't get out of his own way, said, get this armor off me. He reached in his pocket, pulled out a stone, put in the slingshot. was about to do what the whole army couldn't do. They're all here, looking up at this giant Goliath. The armor in the sword of Goliath was so massive that it would just strike anybody coming near it. How can this runny-nosed kid come against this mighty, mighty warrior? And they're all looking, shaking in their boots, and they're looking at this little kid, and they're looking down at the kid because he's small. He's not big. He hasn't got all that armor. Are you with me? All of a sudden, David reached in his pocket. He came with a heavenly perspective. And he didn't look up at Goliath. He looked down at Goliath. And by looking down, God put Goliath in a size to be defeated. And from a heavenly perspective, King David took that swing shot and he started yielding it. He wasn't yielding it up to some giant thing. He was about to take it down where it belonged. He let that stone go, hit that guy right in the forehead. Then David took the sword that everybody was afraid of after Goliath went down. He took his sword, the sword that everybody was afraid of, and chopped it off. My question to you at leaving, and we've had a lot of ministry this weekend, so if you have your permission, I'm just going to close with this, Pastor Mac, and you can close. If a little snot-nosed, running-nosed kid with curly hair and freckles, with a heavenly perspective, can outshine an entire army with all its armament and fulfill what all they could not do. If one kid can do that, to change history, my dear beloved, in Jesus' name and by power of Holy Spirit, what are you? What are you? God is looking not at the Goliaths. God's not looking at all the massive armies. That does not concern him. God is looking for a David that loves him enough to get a heavenly perspective to take down the enemy and walk in this truth. God bless you. I love you all.
This message is both simple and deep at the same time, because it's in its essence, it's really simple. If you believe God's word, and if you believe who he says you are, then you can operate from a heavenly perspective. I just challenge you to re-listen to this word, and probably more than once, if you really want to get to the heart of it and give it its proper place in your life. If you don't expect your life to change. Your problems will still loom large. The confusion, the chaos, the challenges will overwhelm you. But if you take your rightful place as the Word of God says, Ephesians 1 and chapter 2, then not only will you overcome your problems, but you will be able to speak into the lives of others to help them overcome their problems, to help them usher them into a place of victory in the heavenly perspective. Well, the Lord was giving me lots of stuff, but I will share this with you while Pastor Rao was sharing. And just like with everything else, you have to give it time, and you have to put it before allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten you and give you the right perspective. And here's another challenge. How many times did he say the word perspective this morning? Dozens. If you really go back and listen to it, you'll find that to be true. So God gave me a vision with my eyes open, and what I saw was just quite simply, my car was parked in a parking space in the parking lot. I didn't see any other cars, just mine. Just my car in the space, and I'm like, what the heck? And you can say that to God when you don't know what he's showing you. And then he said, look around. And so first I saw the handicap space. Then I saw painted on the lot, no parking. Then I saw tow zone. And God was saying, receive his perspective. That's the heavenly perspective. Put things and park it in the right place in your life. Give it the right place and let it get established in your life. And you won't have to worry about the enemy coming in and paying a fine because you're in the handicap space. You won't have to worry about the police. You won't have to worry about losing things, getting things towed away that you value. No. And you will have access to every promise of God. Everything that Jesus died on the cross that you might have the abundant life will be available and accessible to you when you put it in the right place. When you receive it with the right spirit, with Christ right there with you, seated in the heavenlies. So, again, I challenge you. You need to chew on this, digest it. And I think what you're going to see, which was the other thing that I was feeling and seeing burning flesh. You know the smell of burning flesh? Oh, man, it's horrible. But the end result is redemptive. Amen. So I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that not just today, but this whole weekend was God coming in by the Holy Spirit and bringing revelation, bringing peace, bringing understanding, comfort, and challenge. Help us to receive it meekly, as Christ would, with humility, asking him to give us the right spirit, the right perspective, and being willing, as the Holy Spirit gives direction, to speak and to do and to live out those things that God has been saying to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We still have food left from yesterday. If everyone only has one sandwich, there'll be enough for everybody. And the salad there, and cake, and so forth, chips and whatnot. So God bless you. Go enjoy one another now as well.